everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He is the pastor of one of the largest churches in America. From small beginnings over 15 years ago to now 36,000 active members on multi-campuses, reaching the lost and empowering the believer with the saving, healing, and yes, delivering power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his latest, Truly Free, Breaking the Snares That So Easily Entangle, our next guest shares his own story and how you too can avoid the pitfalls that once entangled him. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, best-selling author, speaker, and TV host of The Blessed Life, chairman of the board of King's University, and senior pastor of Gateway Church, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Please welcome Pastor Robert Morris. Pastor Morris, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you so much, Jensine. I am so honored to be here.
Well, it is an honor to have you, Pastor. It's such a pleasure to have you on a program called Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. And that appears to be exactly what you are doing and have been doing these past 35 years, Pastor, with your wife, Debbie, and now your latest great read, Truly Free. But before we get to all of this in part one of our two-part conversation today, can you please tell our audience how you came to faith in Jesus Christ and some of the pitfalls you had to overcome to become all God intended? Pastor Morris, please tell us your story.
Well, I grew up in a great Christian home, great Christian parents, and walked the aisle when I was really young. I just didn't really surrender my will to the Lordship of Christ. I didn't really understand that. And I had a lot of insecurity, got caught up in the wrong crowd, started going the wrong way. And it just seemed like there was an attack against me from day one to go the wrong way and do the wrong thing. And when I was 15, I had an evangelist that took an interest in me and started trying to help me, and I kept trying to rededicate my life to the Lord. And I do believe sometimes we need to recommit, but we also need to examine, have we ever really committed, to the Lord? And so at that time, I started trying to straighten out, and I met Debbie and started dating her, fell in love. We dated our last 2 years of high school and our first year of college, and then we got married, and I started seeing in her just a true love for Jesus Christ, not for what she could get out of him, but for what she could do for him. And I had this evangelist, and he was mentoring me, and I actually started speaking some. And I really realized, as I started reading the Bible for myself, I'd never truly been saved, and I never truly submitted my will to His Lordship. So I did that. I was 19 years old. Debbie and I had already been married about 9 months. But that was the change. Everything was different. Not that I was perfect, but I didn't want to go back to the old life. I had no desire for it. I wanted to serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, I wish every person could truly have that experience. And I think the blockage for me was kind of religion, that I believed in my head Jesus was the Son of God, but I really had to believe it in my heart enough to give Him control of my life.
Was your wife, Debbie, the one that caused you to look at your faith in a different way? What broke what I would call a religious way of thinking, or a religious spirit even, off of your life?
Well, two things. One was the genuineness of Debbie's life. and the genuineness of her faith. And second was this evangelist that was helping me was so strong on, you know, that if you're going to become a Christian, it's really committing your life to Jesus Christ. And I began to see it in Scripture, and I began to see, you know, the disciples left all and followed him. And Jesus said, are you going to take up your cross and follow me? And I was confronted with the truth. And I don't mean, I'm going to say this, it wasn't a watered-down gospel. And I don't mean to cast a bad shadow on the church I grew up in. But it was kind of like, believe and you'll be saved. Well, it's true, but I think there's a belief that goes deeper than just a mental assent to the cross, and that is a heart descent to that I'm really willing to bear the cross and become a full disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on the program, Pastor Morris, in particular, because in your book, Truly Free, which we are going to get into in more depth in our second segment, you talk about ways that even as a Christian, we can allow things in our life that will put us into bondage and keep us from living a victorious life in Christ. I know that I personally experienced that in my own life, and I've also experienced the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver and set free, but it first has to be taught, Pastor Morris. I'm not hearing this in so many churches today, maybe back in the 80s and in the 70s, but not so much today. As pastor of Gateway Church in Dallas and author of many best-selling books, one entitled The Blessed Life, how did your role in the writing of that book prepare you to write the book that you have written today?
Well, this book, the book Truly Free, came from a sermon series that I did at Gateway Church. And I just begin to get so burdened that if you don't know you're in bondage, you can't be free. And I just began to get so burdened that it seemed like that we were being kind of sent down the river that, well, you know, once you're Christian, the devil can't bother you anymore. And so I got so burdened to begin to study to prove that we as believers can be in bondage. But the great news about that is if we can be in bondage, then we can be set free. You know, if it's a weakness that you need to work on in your life, well, you have to strengthen a weakness. And I do believe in discipleship and renewing our mind and building ourselves up in our most holy faith, all that. But I believe also in the delivering power of Jesus Christ. It seems like we go one way or the other. Is it deliverance or is it discipleship? My answer would be yes. And I'll quote someone that probably everyone knows, and I know you know him, but I quote in the book Dr. Jack Kayford. Pastor Jack says, you can't cast out the flesh and you can't disciple a demon.
Amen.
And that is just a wise statement. What he's saying is, it's not deliverance or discipleship. It's deliverance and discipleship. And so the book focuses on, yes, we need to renew our minds and become disciples, but part of getting free is admitting we're in bondage. And when you admit you're in bondage to the one who has all authority and all power, that's half the battle right there.
Amen and amen. Pastor Morris, to look at you, one might think you've never had a problem. Every hair in place, the boy next door, from a Christian family and a great neighborhood. You're the man every mother hopes their daughter will someday marry, and eventually you did become that man, but not so fast. You had a lot of challenges that you yourself had to overcome. Can you just talk about some of those challenges and how you were able to be, as your book states, truly free?
You know, when I was growing up, I had so much insecurity that I didn't really feel like the boy next door. I felt like the goofy-looking boy next door. You know, we is we look at ourselves and we say, wow, I've got big lips and I'm real skinny and I'm funny looking and I didn't feel like I was in the popular crowd, and so I got involved in the wrong crowd and I got involved in drugs. But the main thing was I got involved in immorality, and it was hard for me for years to talk about that. It didn't seem like there was any shame in saying, you know, I used to be in drugs, but there was a lot of shame involved to talk about the immorality that I was involved in. And so I got saved, fell in love with Debbie, fell in love with Jesus, but I had a lot of immoral things that I had seen and done that God never intended me to see and do. And so even after I was a Christian, here I was struggling with lustful thoughts, and it was horrible. And I couldn't understand why until I understood that there were some strongholds in me that needed to be torn down, that I needed to repent, and also to understand about the thief and the way he works. Well, one of the illustrations that the Lord showed me, and of course illustrations don't prove, scriptures prove, and I prove it with the scriptures, but an illustration to understand is that Jesus called Satan a thief and said he's looking for some other way to come in. And so if you think about it, if you went to church one morning and you left a door or a window open and you came home and there was a thief in your house, well, he wouldn't own your house, but he is in your house. And he's going to steal from you until you get the proper authority to get him out. Well, that's where we get hung up on that. We say demon possession, and we say, well, surely a Christian can't be possessed by a demon because he can't be owned by a demon. And obviously, we are owned by God, we're bought with a price. But the word possession there means to gain control over. And that's exactly what Satan tries to do. He tries to gain control over us in an area of our lives. And if he gains control in an area such as anger or lust or bitterness, then we need to get the proper authority, which is Jesus Christ, and get him out. So I really look forward, Jensine, to talking with you more about this next week.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to best-selling author, speaker, and senior pastor of Gateway Church, Dr. Robert Morris. You can learn more about Pastor Morris and get his latest great read, Truly Free, by going to theblessedlife.com or wherever books are sold. Pastor Morris, thank you for being with us today on Testimony. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you so much for having me on the program. I really am excited about coming back next week.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the powerful and anointed testimony of one man's journey to Christ. Not by might, not by power, but by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord, as the scripture declares in Zechariah 4:6. But how, in reality, is this achieved in the life of every believer and those yet to know him? In his powerful book, Truly Free, Breaking the Snares That So Easily Entangle, Senior Pastor Robert Morris of the multi-campus, 36,000-member megachurch known as Gateway explains. Would you welcome back to Testimony, a great honor indeed, best-selling author of over 11 books, The Blessed Life, From Dream to Destiny, The God I Never Knew, The Blessed Church, just to name a few, chairman of the King's University, husband of 35 years to wife Debbie, their three grown children, and six grandchildren, and all from the great state of Texas and Dallas-Fort Worth, an overcomer indeed. Please welcome Dr. Robert Morris. Dr. Morris, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. I so enjoyed being with you last week, and I'm glad to be back with you this week.
Well, I loved our first segment, and I'm so looking forward to getting more in detail in your latest great read, Truly Free, which I understand is a compilation of a popular 11-week series you first taught at Gateway a couple of years ago, and it was so popular, people said, you need to put that in a book. You've done that. And we just want to thank you in advance. You talk about several subjects in your book. Really, the essence of your book is how to keep from having the enemy enter your life, and if he has, how to kick him out. So let's get right to it. In your book, Truly Free, you mention that we should respect the devil as our foe. Why is this important?
Yeah, well, when I say respect, I certainly don't mean the word honor, and because all honor is due to God. But I think sometimes the world tries to paint Satan as the guy in the red flannel underwear with a pitchfork, and he's nothing to worry about. But if you went to your door late one night, and there's an obvious burglar there, and he's got a mask on, and he's got a crowbar and maybe even a knife or a gun or something, there would be a healthy respect for him, like if you were out in the woods and saw a snake. There's a healthy respect, fear in essence that God's given us, that this is evil, we need to stay away. And you certainly wouldn't, if you saw that thief through the peephole, you certainly wouldn't crack the door, and you certainly wouldn't open the door and invite him in. And I think that's what happens sometimes, is that we actually open a door to the enemy. One of the things I talk about in the book, I talk about being under the influence of Satan in an area of our life. And we may be doing great 95% of our life, and then there's that little area where we open the door. And I give the illustration that, like, if a man drink too much alcohol, he might do something that's totally out of character, that embarrasses him and his family, and it might even hurt him and his family and others, but it's because he's under the influence. Well, what if he's a Christian and he drinks too much? Will he still be affected? Well, of course he will. It doesn't matter whether he's a Christian or a non-Christian, if he takes that substance in the same way. If a Christian man begins to look at pornography on the internet, he's opening the door to the enemy, and he's going to come under the influence of that demonic spirit, and he may end up doing something totally out of character, embarrass himself and his family, and probably hurts himself and his family and others as well. And that's why we've got to learn to recognize what these doors are and how to close these doors.
Well, speaking of that, what are some of the doors, the warning signs, that demons are present in a Christian's life?
Well, that's a great point, and probably the biggest warning sign is continued iniquity, an area of sin that we just continue to fall in. We confess it over and over. We feel powerless to get free. The book comes from John 8:36, where Jesus said, "You all know that he whom the Son sets free is truly free." And verse 32 is real famous. It says, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Mm-hmm. What we don't seem to remember is verse 31 before it, verse 33 after. Verse 31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him," so he's talking to believers, and then verse 33 after Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free, verse 33 is actually one of the funniest verses in the Bible. Because here's what they said. They said, while we're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. I mean, you know, have you ever read the Bible? It seems like they've been in bondage to everyone. I mean, there have been movies made about it, you know, that they were in bondage to the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, and when they made the statement, they were in bondage to the Romans. So Jesus says, I'm talking about whoever commits sin is a slave. He's in bondage. And that word commit is not just fall or make a mistake. It's exactly what we think if a person's in a committed relationship or a person has been committed to a prison term. So if there's a sin that we are committed to that, we're in bondage to that, that could be a really good indication that there's a demonic bondage there.
I remember years ago teachings by Derek Prince where he was delving into the deliverance ministry, and he talked about, Pastor Morris, getting to the root cause of a problem, number one, and number two, that wherever demonic activity was found, usually there was a compulsion attached to it. In other words, no matter how much the person prayed, went to church, sat in the pew, did the Bible studies and so forth, he or she were unable to break free from that bondage and that addiction. So next question, when someone recognizes their sin, what are some of the steps they can take to be released from it?
Well, that's such a great question, because that first part is when he or she recognizes. And that's, to me, why I think the book can help people and why the series at our church helps so many people, because they just didn't recognize, wow, this is the bondage. I think I'm in bondage in this area. And I told them, I said, now don't get upset when you hear this. This is actually good news, because we know the one who is greater in us than the one that's in the world. And so part of it is simply recognizing that it's a bondage. And then the second part is simply coming to Jesus, who is the one, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, or truly free, is coming to him. And that process is what we call repentance. And repentance comes from two Greek words, metanoia. And meta means change, and noia means mind. It's where we change our mind about our sin. And really, when we just come to the knowledge, hey, I'm in bondage, I can't get free from this, I need a deliverer, and this bondage is going to affect me over the long term, that right there is part of the process of repentance. So coming to Jesus, coming to some friends who will help us, becoming transparent, confessing our faults to someone else, and then trusting Jesus to set us free. That's a lot of the process right there.
Amen and amen. Pastor Morris, how important has the baptism of the Holy Spirit been in your own life? And would you say that is a major factor for helping someone to get free?
It's absolutely a major factor. And for me, it was extremely important. I was raised in a theological line of thought that we believe that when you got saved, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But we did believe that after you got saved, you needed to be water baptized. And all through Scripture, you see those three things in the book of Acts. In Acts 2, he said, repent and believe in Jesus, that's getting saved, and be baptized, that's water baptism, and receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts 8, you see that they repent, they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom. Then they were water baptized. Then it says they sent Peter and John down to pray for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, you have the same thing with the Gentiles. They got saved, water baptized, baptized the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 19, same thing. Paul finds some disciples at Ephesus. They get saved, they get water baptized, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is extremely important. I say it this way. To go to heaven, we just need to be saved. We just need to accept Jesus Christ. But to have heaven on earth, we need to be water baptized, and we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so we can walk in the fullness of the power. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power that God has given us to defeat the enemy.
Amen and amen. Wow. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Senior Pastor of Megachurch Gateway in Dallas, Texas, Robert Morris. His latest great read, Truly Free, Breaking the Snares That So Easily Entangle. Such an important read for such a time as this, Pastor Morris, when our world is falling around. There is wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, the persecuted church. People are looking and hungering for the truth, but yet they need the power. And this is what your book, in my view, so beautifully outlines for every believer and non-believer. They want to know how they can be set free and live a life of victory, not just survive. So one of the things you talk about in your book is the importance of tithing in our remaining moments here and how that closes the door to greed, unbelief, and fear. Can you explain?
Sure. You know, if you think about who invented tithing or who invented giving, it was God. I mean, it's all through Scripture. God talks about bringing sacrifices and bringing the first of all of our increase to the house of God. But then you got to think about why. Why did God invent tithing and giving? And the most popular answer I've heard is to support the work of his kingdom. And then when I ask the question, it kind of dawns on them how humorous that answer is. Do we really believe that God needs our money to support his work? Well, no. God did not invent giving for his benefit. He invented giving for our benefit. And giving is the single greatest activity to break greed and selfishness in our lives, because we are first putting God first in our lives when we do that, and we are acting in faith when we do that. So, and another thing about giving is we're the most like God when we give. I mean, it's easy to see. For God, the greatest verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave. Well, if he had just loved us and not given, we'd still be lost. We're here because God gave his son. We're here because Jesus gave his life. We're here because we gave our life to Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to best-selling author, speaker, and senior pastor of Gateway Church, Dr. Robert Morris. You can learn more about Pastor Morris's latest great read, Truly Free, by going to theblessedlife.com or wherever books are sold. Pastor Morris, you are truly a man after God's own heart and an overcomer in every sense of the word. Thank you for your rich teachings and empowering tools that is helping everyone to truly be free now and for eternity. Pastor, thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, Jensen. It's been wonderful being with you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenebard.com. That's one word, jensenebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.